the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. There has already been much rejoicing this morning. We had a wonderful event down in McWhorter Hall during the Sunday School Hour to kick off our celebration of 150 years together as a congregation in ministry in this community. We're going to be all through this year finding ways to celebrate, to remember and look back at our past, to ground ourselves in who God is calling us to be and stepping out into God's new future. So I hope that you'll be looking for opportunities to connect with some of those special events. One of the first of those is reading through the Bible together. And I'll be saying a little bit more about that in the sermon. Boy, it's been a full morning. I've been talking all morning. but we hope that you'll consider joining us on that journey as well. It's a privilege to welcome you if this is your first time worshiping here at West End. We're so glad that you're with us, and I invite all of us to take an opportunity to register our attendance. We have registration pads here in the sanctuary in the middle aisle, if you'll sign those and pass them down to others who might be on your row. And if you're joining us online, there's a link on the screen you can put into your browser to sign up that way. We have several ministries starting back up after the first of the year. Our Wednesday night programming begins this week on the 11th. We'll have dinner followed by our encounter service for adults, children's choirs, and other activities. If you would like to come to dinner, you need to RSVP on the website. Just go to the website /Wednesday, and all the information you need will be there. Also starting back up are our youth small groups. They start back up tonight at 5 o'clock. And then our confirmation class will be gathering for the first time tonight. And so we keep all of those young people in our prayers as they begin this journey together. This morning, we start at the very beginning with the story of creation in First Genesis. And we remember also the baptism of Jesus and the beginning of the journey with God that our baptism initiates. So I invite you to open your hearts, minds, and lives to receive the good news this day.
Thank you. are created in God's image.
We are God's beloved.
We are called children of God.
We will follow your guidance.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confessions with the confidence of children of God. Creator God, you made us in your image and gave us stewardship over the earth. You have called us very good, beloved, your children. You invite us into the covenant of baptism and celebrate our belonging to your family. And yet we turn away. We confess this day that sometimes we do not live into our baptismal vows. We have sinned against each other and against you. We have turned our backs on injustice and oppression. We have trusted in things that are not of your grace. We have not loved our neighbors fully, and yet we are still your beloved children. The remembrance of these vows calls us back to repentance and reminds us who we are and whose we are. Forgive us and grant that we may boldly confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and live according to your will. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. For the people here in the congregation today, please do that in the way that you feel most comfortable. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth. and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to invite any children who are here in the sanctuary or children at heart to come up and join me for a moment. And if you're worshiping from home, just move a little closer to your screens. We had a big group at 8:45. Oh, good. Here come some wonderful people. Come on up. How are you, Penelope? It's good to see all of you. Thanks for acolyting today. Good to see you all. I would like to tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was a little boy named Trevor, and he had a good friend named Lily who came over to his house to play. And they decided it would be fun to turn on some fun music and to dance. So they were dancing in the playroom. And then Trevor looked over and he saw into the living room. Now, the living room was a room that his parents had said, it's best if you don't play in there because there are some things that you could break and it's not as fun anyway. So let's stay out of the living room and don't play there. But you can play in all the other rooms of the house. But as Trevor was dancing, he looked into the living room and he thought, boy, that carpet looks soft in there. There's a big window. Come on, Lily, let's go dance in the living room. So they went, I know, shaking your head, oh, we shouldn't have done that, dancing in the living room, and he swings really widely, and crash, a vase of flowers falls to the floor and breaks. Trevor immediately felt terrible, and he was so scared that he was going to get in trouble with his parents, and so he decided to hide. He said, come on, Lily, let's go hide. Maybe they won't find us, and maybe we won't get in trouble. So they hid in the closet in his bedroom. After a while, they heard some footsteps, and the door to the closet opened, and there was Trevor's mommy standing there. And she saw that he was crying, and he said, I'm so sorry, Mommy. And she got down on her knees, and she gave Trevor and Lily a big hug, and she said, oh, it's okay. It's just a vase. I was really worried because I couldn't find you, but now that I know you're okay, I'm glad to see you. Yeah, I'm sad that the vase is broken, but I can get another one of those. I can't get another Trevor or another Lily. And so Trevor had been so afraid, and yet what he found out was that his mom loved him no matter what. Our Bible story is a little bit like that. God loves us no matter what. And even if we do things that we know are wrong, and maybe we get in a little trouble for that, God will never, ever, ever stop loving us. I hope we always remember that. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we know that sometimes we do things we're not supposed to. We feel bad about that, and sometimes we worry that you'll be mad at us. But the truth is, you love us so much. You're always glad to be with us, and we are so thankful for your love. Help us to be more loving, too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. If you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go to Children's Church with Miss Molly and Pastor Maggie. And if you're older than that, you can go back to your seats. This day is an exciting day of beginning. We're beginning a new year together. Of course, we're 8 days in to the new year, but I don't know about you, but it still feels brand new to me. We are beginning our sesquicentennial year as a congregation. Just an hour ago, we launched into this wonderful year that's going to be full of wonderful ministry and new people and new ways to be inspired to be the church in our community. And part of that together is we're beginning this journey through the Bible together. We have over 150 people who have made a commitment to read the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation throughout this year. You can participate in a small group if you'd like or not, read on your own, however you want to do that. But when we come together on Sunday mornings, we'll be making our way through the Bible. Some books, like Genesis, will get two Sundays. Other books we'll probably skip over. Not many, I promise. But we'll be making our way through all the way up to Advent at the end of November. We're going to take a little break in Lent to spend some time in John's Gospel in preparation for Easter. But I hope you'll join us on that journey together through the Bible. And what better place to start than in the beginning? The story of creation in the first chapter of Genesis. What better way to start than the stories of creation? See, there's more than one. There's a story as it's told in chapter 1 and a few verses after chapter 1, which is basically a poem broken down into 7 days describing the glory of creation. The other story is a little more earthy. And in that story, there are some differences. Humankind is created before the animals, and it's a different tone. And scholars tell us these came from different sources, probably from different eras. But one of the beautiful things about the Bible is that all of these voices are included. We hear the story of Jesus told in 4 different voices, different perspectives. And so rather than be bogged down by that and think of that as a problem, well, these two things don't agree, I want to invite us to think of it as a gift and a blessing and an invitation to engage with all the different voices of the Bible. So we have these two stories. And I would invite us to read them, as I hope we'll read all of Scripture, not so much for what's the history this is telling us, what's the information we're getting, what's the science this points to, but how is God revealed in this story? How can this text transform me? Where am I hearing God speak through this text? What does it tell us about God? What does it tell us about us? What does it tell us about our relationship with God? So it's through that lens that I want to look first at the story in Genesis 1. The part that Bill read for us is the 6th day of creation, the day when God created humankind. The story tells us that God is a creator. God is one who brings something out of nothing, and says that God created humankind in God's own image. That God has built us for relationship with God. That each one of us has imprinted on us and in us the image of God. And after God created humankind, God blessed them. And then God invited them to take responsibility for all of creation. God entrusted us with the stewardship of creation. And invited us to go and be fruitful and multiply. And then at the end of the 6th day, God looked at all of these things and said, very good. So we see a God who is creative, a God who blesses, a God who provides, a God who sends us to multiply, a God who entrusts us and gives us responsibility. And a God who looks upon us as very good. A God who delights in us. What does this story tell us about ourselves? It reminds us that we are, each and every one of us, and every human being who has ever walked on the face of the earth, made in the image of God. The imprint of God is in every person. What does that tell us about how we see one another, how we treat one another? Every gender, every race, every culture is the image of God reflected. I believe that sits at the foundation of one of our bedrock beliefs, which is God loves everyone unconditionally. It starts in the beginning. We learn in this story that we are responsible for creation, that God has trusted us. And if that doesn't inspire us to look around and do what we can to take care of this good creation, the animals, the plants and the trees and the water and all that God has given us, I don't know what will. It tells us that God looks at us and says, very good. That our starting place in the story of God with us is goodness. That's where we start. Now there's another story, the other creation story, which we didn't hear today, but maybe some of you have been doing your reading and you've already read it. Many of you, I'm sure, are already familiar with the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. This story also begins with God being creative and playing in the dirt and bringing forth from the dirt, from the dust of the earth, the creature Adam, whose name actually means dust man, dust creature. And God breathes God's very breath into the human and realizes that it's not good for this human to be alone, and so creates another human, creates a community, creates relationship. And then God provides for Adam and Eve everything they could possibly need, all the food they can eat, the beauty of the world, the water, everything. They have enough. And more than that, every day in the cool of the day, God comes to walk with them and commune with them. So they have a right relationship with God, a right relationship with each other, a right relationship with all of creation. But then something happens. We know this part of the story too, don't we? Temptation comes, and it's spoken through the voice of a serpent in the story. The serpent who starts to plant the seed. Are you sure this is enough? I mean, did you know there's more? You could be like God, you know. God's not telling you the full story. Starting to implant mistrust of God. Starting to plant this dissatisfaction, this idea that no, I don't have enough. There isn't enough. I'm not enough. And so the serpent draws Eve's attention first to this tree that God had said, don't eat the fruit of this tree, but everything else is yours. And she takes a bite. And then Adam takes a bite. And immediately upon eating this fruit, their eyes are opened. And we too can see what they have done. They've turned away from God. They've chosen to do it their own way. They've chosen to seek something that is not of God. We say it so often in our communion liturgy, their love failed. They turned away and their love failed. And we can see in that one metaphor, the many, many ways that we sin. By thinking we're not enough, by thinking we don't have enough, this driving force to be more, to be like God's, however you want to frame it, this story does a beautiful job of it. Their eyes are opened, and immediately they look at themselves and feel shame. Shame was not part of God's plan. Was not part of what God wanted for them. But they see themselves as they are and they feel ashamed. And so they hide from God. God comes to the garden in the cool of the day to enjoy their walk together, and they're nowhere to be found. It makes me wonder how many different ways we hide from ourselves, from each other, from God. Eventually God finds them. And realizes what they've done. And instead of separating God's self from them forever, God puts clothes on them. God sends them out of the garden, but God goes with them. And for the whole rest of the scriptures, we have this story of people who again and again and again turn away, turn away. The Israelites have been freed from slavery in Egypt. They're wandering in the wilderness toward the promised land, and they want to go back to Egypt. We don't like this journey. We'd rather go back to the enslavement we had before. Or they get to the promised land, and they say, "We want a king." And God says, "You don't need a king. You have me." "Nope, we want to be king like all the other nations." Again and again, example after example. And yet God continues to pursue, never giving up on them or on us. Until finally, in the fullness of time, as we've remembered in the season we've just walked through, God came to be one of us, to be Emmanuel in Jesus of Nazareth, once and for all to claim us as God's own. Now, throughout the scriptures, there will be people we'll meet along the way who don't hide from God, who, when they hear God calling them, step out into the open and say, "Here I am." Abraham, Moses, the prophets, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Saul, "Here I am, just as I am." And God uses them to continue God's great work of saving us and all of humankind and all of creation. This morning, we are remembering the moment that Jesus was baptized. He came to the Jordan River, according to the Gospels, before he had ever performed any miracle, before he had preached a sermon, before he had done anything necessarily to earn God's favor. He just came to the river and said, "Here I am." And John the Baptist baptized him, and in that moment there was a voice from heaven that said, "You are my beloved son, and I take such delight in you." And so when we come for baptism, when we come forward in a moment to remember our baptism, to touch the waters of baptism, the invitation for us is to come out of hiding. If there is some way that you are hiding from yourself, from the people you love, from God, to step out into the light and say, "Here I am, just as you created me, just as I am." And to hear the voice of God saying to you, "Oh, very good. You are mine. You are my beloved child. And I am so delighted with you." This is our starting point, my friends. Some will want to tell you that we start with shame. We start with brokenness. We start with sin. But we start with very good. May that be true for you today. Amen. In response to the good news that God will never turn away from us and never stop pursuing us, that God has declared us good through the waters of baptism, we are now going to take an opportunity to reaffirm the covenant of baptism, our way of saying together, "Here we are." So I will be, in just a moment, asking you the questions of baptism. If you have been baptized already, this is an opportunity for you to reaffirm the covenant that you made at your baptism. If you have yet to be baptized, we invite you to participate fully in all that we're doing here, and then perhaps come and talk with one of us, your pastors, if you'd like to be baptized. After we answer these questions, we'll be doing a thanksgiving over the water, and then we invite you to come forward as you feel led to the different stations to receive a bead of glass to remind you of water, the waters of baptism, to be touched by the waters. And I pray that in that moment you hear and experience the unconditional love of God who takes delight in you. Will you stand now in body or in spirit and join in responding to these questions of the covenant of baptism? My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is a gift from God, offered to us without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism. We acknowledge what God is doing for us and in us and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. And so I ask you now on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do.
I do.
You may be seated. This is the water on which God breathed and the Spirit brooded when God began creating us. All creeping things, all races, male and female, all of creation.
And this is the water that drove up the trunk of the tree whose branches bore the fruit that we weren't allowed to taste.
This water covered the earth deeper than the Himalayas when God wanted to start over. This is the foot of the rainbow that's meant to tell us God won't destroy the creation again.
This is the water of the river Jabbok, where Jacob still wrestles with God.
And this is the well where Joseph was left for dead by his jealous brothers.
This is the water that at Moses' command, when God led God's people out of slavery, was opened. This is the water by which Miriam and the women danced the rhythms of liberation.
This water sprang from rocks in the desert when the people started whining to go back to the way things used to be.
And these are the salty tears that King David shed when Nathan accused him of the worst sin. These are the tears he shed again when he pleaded God for forgiveness and got it.
These are the waters of Babylon by which our ancestors sat down and wept, their harps and tongues silent for homesickness.
And this is the water that broke in a barn in Bethlehem.
Out of this water, John pulled a stunned Jesus in the River Jordan, the day that they saw the dove and heard from deep within the voice that said, "You are my beloved. In you, my heart sings for joy."
This is where those men heaved and hauled nets until love came to town and called them to even harder work for even less pay.
This is the water that became wine at a wedding in Cana.
Peter sauntered on this water and then he sank and was rescued, setting the pattern of a disciple's life.
This is the well in Samaria, where Jesus chatted unchaperoned with a so-called disreputable woman. This is the living water that quenched her thirst forever and restored her dignity.
This is the spittle that came from his mouth when he restored hearing to those who could not hear, when he restored sight to those who could not see.
And this is the water that he used to cut the wine at his last meal.
These are the tears that fell that last night in the garden.
This is the sink that Pilate used to wash his hands when he passed the death sentence.
And these are the wet faces of the women whose grief at the cross could not be quenched.
This is what Jesus thirsted for at the hour of his death.
This is the tomb from which Christ blasted. This is the opening. This is the way.
And this is the water that binds us to Christ, where sin and death are destroyed. This is the water that reminds us who we are and whose we are.
We invite you now to come to the water. We will have 3 stations here up front. Please just come as you feel led and return to your seats as you feel led. The altar rails are open for you to come and kneel and pray and rest in your belovedness. I will be serving the choir first, and then I will make my way around the sanctuary. If there are those of you who are unable or would prefer not to come forward, I can serve you in your seats. But this water is a gift, and in it is a blessing for all of us. We invite you to come.
As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, you can fill out the cards in front of you in the pew racks and place them in the offering plates. If you're joining us online, you can follow the link under Contact Us on our website and leave your prayer request there. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God, you created all things and called them good, including us. We give you thanks for the affirmation made in our baptism that we belong to you, that we are beloved, that we are part of your family, and that your Spirit is at work in our lives, drawing us ever closer to you. Oh God, we also recognize that there have been times when we have not felt that we are good, when we have not felt that we belong, when we have felt far from your Spirit. And there are some who feel that way this day. So draw close to them now. Help them to know how beloved they are to you and to our human family. And help them to experience your presence with them each day. Help us also to reach out to others, especially to those who feel lost or forgotten, that all might be enfolded in the love and care of community. Creator God, we pray too this day for the earth that sustains us, for the diversity of plants and animals and natural resources that make up our beautiful world and provide us with food and shelter. Help us to be good stewards of the earth, and remind us each day of the ways in which our actions have ripple effects far beyond ourselves. Guide our elected leaders and the leaders of industries and businesses that they too might seek to be good stewards of the earth you created. O God, all of our prayers, both those spoken aloud and those kept within our hearts, we offer to you in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us gather together our gifts and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. And here in the sanctuary, we will pass the offering plates down the pews. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us. Thank you.
We have sung it together. Here I am, Lord. Here we are. May we go to tend the poor and lame, to set a feast for those who are hungry, to spread the good news that all are created in the image of God and beloved and included. And may we know that most deeply for ourselves. Go in that knowledge and in that peace.